Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at TrustCareHealth.com/plus.
All pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Bob Getty and Andrew Abbedy, we're on the road today. We're down in Purvis, Mississippi with our great friends here at Ramey Motors. Dakota Baker going to be joining us a little later in the program. First time we've ever done an Eagle Hour remote broadcast next to an excavator. You could probably pick that up and take that home today if you wanted one, Andrew.
No.
No need for an excavator, huh?
I think they just dropped those off because I got stuck behind the truck coming down 589 the other day, and they pulled right into Ramey. So, yeah, they're brand new.
It's sitting right here, Michael, and they've got financing. In fact, Dakota said you can finance this baby for 84 months if you're in the markets. Come on down, Morgans, when the show's over today.
Sure. With the cats.
See Michael out in the back digging trenches for all his cats and stuff.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I'd like to see Kelly on this thing more than
before anything. The show's over, we will give you Michael Morgan's address. He is taking in stray cats.
I'm not taking them in. They're taking us in.
Well, if you want a cat.
Yeah, if you want a cat, kittens, one-year-old cats, we got them.
Yeah, there we go, Michael Burgers. All right, we'll be talking to the guys down here at Ramey's, but let's get to our first guest today. Shane Metlin writes for the Daily News Record up in Harrisonburg, Virginia, and he covers the Sun Belt for that great newspaper. And, Shane, now that the media day has settled, I heard Andrew ask you before we came on the air, I'll steal his question. Now that everything that changed is in place and we're getting ready for football, your observation of what you think we can expect from Sun Belt football this fall?
Yeah, I think it should be a good, fun, exciting season because, you know, you look at things like, I don't really know who should be favored in the West. JMU was picked in most of the polls in the East, most of the magazines and things, but, I think Marshall's maybe going to surprise some people. Georgia Southern should be really good. It's going to be competitive in both divisions, as it always is. And, you know, I think one of the things that kind of jumped out to me about media days, too, is that, like, the Sun Belt was talking about football for the most part, whereas, like, almost every other conference, especially the G6 conferences, like, they got other things that they're trying to, like, kind of talk their way through and spin and everything else leading up to the season and going through media days. But, you know, for the Sun Belt right now, they got their kind of business settled, and now it's looking forward to a good football season.
Right. So you're not buying the automatic that Louisiana's going to win the West. You see the West as competitive and something that maybe two or three different programs could win.
Yeah, I really do. I mean, you know, I think Louisiana being picked as a favorite makes some sense. You know, coming off the season they had, you know, I think the Sormos kind of, you know, after a few years where it took him a little while, I think, to get established, he's kind of just got what he wants to do with that program set at this point. I think they should be good. But, I mean, you guys there in Hattiesburg got to be really excited about, you know, bringing, you know, the conference championship coach, his quarterback, several other players down there. I mean, there's always some I think the idea that, like, oh, they just took Marshall, the league champs, and put him at Southern Miss might be a little overblown. I mean, there's some really good players, but they should be you guys there in Hattiesburg should be really good. I think Texas State, you know, they have a chance to do it on their way out. So I think both divisions are going to be very competitive.
Shane, I want to ask you, I mean, and for the listeners, he also covers James Madison, Everything Sports, but you also do a really good job of just covering the Sun Belt as a whole. Since this major conference realignment has occurred, how do you feel the league has performed and worked out for these last 3 years? And also, on the flip side, what's maybe your biggest critiques of the conference so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's worked out pretty well. You look at the teams that they brought in. Like, I mean, for one thing, I mean, you can just go back. They really settled it. Things by getting 14 football playing schools in and kind of pushing, you know, Little Rock and UTA out the door. Not that those were bad programs in a lot of sports, but now you got everybody kind of on the same page. It's like, we're investing in football. Like, we're going to do it this way. Basketball, baseball are important to pretty much every school in the conference at this point. So I think from that regard, it's worked out pretty well. And then you look at the teams that they brought in, you know, obviously, Southern Miss has struggled in football more than they traditionally have through, like, their long, proud history. But, you know, looks like they made a move to get back on track there. Marshall, JMU have been winning league championships in a lot of sports since they joined. So I think, you know, those moves obviously proved to be big, good ones for the Sun Belt. ODU, I think, is kind of a sleeping giant in a lot of sports. Like, that's... One thing people don't really realize about ODU is, like, that school is kind of the big show in the largest metro area in the country that doesn't have NBA, NFL, MLS, Major League Baseball, NHL, none of that. Like, they have a chance to really kind of be, like, the main show in a pretty big market. And I know sometimes Sun Belt fans are like, markets aren't important, but in ODU's case, I think, you know, they're a little bit of a sleeping giant if they make the right hires to be really good in both basketball and football. So, you know, I think they made really good, the Sun Belt made really good decisions on the schools that they added in 2021 for the 2022 school year. And, yeah, I think it's shown as they've kind of, you know, really in football especially, been an improved conference, but baseball's done great across the board. They got, you know, a win in the NCAA tournament in basketball since this. So, like, a lot of things have gone well for the Sun Belt since deciding to expand the 14 all football playing schools.
And then, like I said, what's been your biggest critiques of the conference? I know the commissioner took questions about basketball, of just how it has overall struggled. I think if you take JMU out of it, this conference is not very good at basketball. So what's kind of your biggest critiques and things you wish that the Sun Belt would try to put more effort into or at least have some type of turnaround on?
Yeah, I think basketball, men's basketball in particular, is probably the sport that the Sun Belt had the hardest time getting all the schools on the same page when it comes to that. You know, I think you've got some schools where, you know, basketball's obviously important. They're investing in it. They're, you know, buying home games to try to, you know, boost their net rankings, things like that. They're chartering for tough trips on conference. If you got a tough, like, you know, Thursday, Saturday road trip, like, you know, Marshall or JMU or ODU, some of these schools, even Georgia State, like, you know, charter to make those trips, and that makes it a lot easier on your team. You have a lot better chance of winning basketball games if you're doing that. And then there's other schools that really just haven't invested in basketball. You know, whether it's prioritizing baseball over basketball, I think maybe some of that, or it's just, you know, haven't been able to, you know, come up with the financial resources to really invest in basketball. I think ULM's probably the primary case there. But, yeah, I don't have a ton of critiques as a conference overall, but I think it has been tough to get all 14 schools on the same page in basketball the way they have in football and some other sports.
Andrew, I'm going to ask you a question. He just brought up an interesting point. Has Southern Miss been guilty of maybe not putting the resources in basketball but more into baseball? And here of late, obviously, a lot of resources went into football.
Yes and no. You know, we've talked about it on the show. I mean, it's the talk of the town of how they can't get their stadium renovated fast enough. But I don't think that falls completely on Southern Miss. The IHL board seems to really drag their feet with it. And that has more to do with it than I think people realize. I think I think there's long-term commitment, but I think, as we all know, I think, Shane, you probably agree, if your football team's winning, that tends to bleed over into everything else financially, and that has, I think, may have played some of a role in it, too. Shane, what's kind of your take on that?
Yeah, I obviously, you know, if you're winning in football, you're probably making more money, and you're probably able to, like, really invest in a lot of your sports. And, you know, I wasn't necessarily including Southern Miss in that, you know, category of teams that are prioritizing baseball, although they obviously have an amazing baseball stadium, amazing facilities, do great as far as like drawing fans there. I might throw Georgia Southern more in that category of, you know, program that maybe prioritizes baseball over basketball. But yeah, I mean, I'm on the outside looking in a little bit as far as like Southern Miss specifically, but
I meant in general
to do things with basketball. And yeah, from what I've seen, they do have plans to, you know, do some things with the basketball arena and things like that. So, you know, it's just part of it's also you got to make the right hires. And, you know, it's been a little bit up and down with Jay Ladner, to be, you know, frank about it. So, you know, we'll see what ends up happening with the basketball program there.
Hey, Shane, we really appreciate you being on our show. We're going to call on you as the football season draws closer. If you don't mind keeping us in touch with the East, we think you'd be a great guy to do that for us.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me.
All right, Shane Melton, everybody, from the Daily News Record in Harrisonburg, Virginia. When we come back, the one and only Dakota Baker on the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour on the road today. Kind of like a second home to us here at Ramey Motors. Dakota Baker joins us for, I don't know, how many remotes have we done here, Dakota? 100?
Plenty. About as many cookies as Kelly eats every time he comes.
Yeah,
here.
Well, he's not here today, so the snack counter is safe. Still to come on the show, we're going to be talking to a reporter that's going to tell us how much Marshall University loves Southern Miss as we get closer to football season. Yeah. First, I want to talk a little about Ramey's, but before I do that, I brought this up to you guys. I want both of you to tell me, why was everybody feeling such a sense of sadness over the death of Hulk Hogan?
I mean, dude, he's just been an icon like we talked about right before we started. I mean, dude, he's been around. You knew who he was, an icon he was in the, what it would say, early 90s,
yeah.
And late 80s.
Yeah.
And then for me as a kid growing up, WCW and all that. I mean, man, he stayed in the industry, stayed giving back, stayed with the fans. And, man, I mean, even but look at Ozzy. Ozzy, in a way, is the same thing. The Prince of Darkness, he's been around since really the early 80s, right?
Yeah.
I mean
60s, 70s.
I mean,
Black
dude,
Sabbath.
I mean, I grew up on that music. I mean, that's the kind of stuff my dad listened to, and that's what I listened to. We've lost so many good ones here of late, and it's just kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's been kind of a tough week, hadn't it, Andrew, with when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah, know? I was kind of like you. My dad would have me on Black Sabbath and stuff, and so I was a little more hit with Ozzy, although Hulk Hogan's he's an icon, right? And everybody knows who he is, so I guess we're just sitting around waiting to see who's next, right?
Yeah, I mean, these were two of the all-time greats, man.
Top, the pinnacle of their careers, you could argue that they were the best in the business at what they did.
All All right, happier notes. This is the first. We've done a lot of remotes here, and we always look forward to being here. You guys are just wonderful partners with us. First time we've ever done a remote next to an excavator. Talk about that.
So that's our new line, Takahuchi Skid Steers and Excavators. We brought them on about 4 months ago and finally got kicked off really good. Sold six of them in the last week and a half. So we're finally getting our niche, figuring out where to get them into, like what, you know, persona for people that, you know, plumbers, electricians that do. This is your small plumber and electrician guy right here. But now our main thing, we've been selling these skid steers with mulchers. I'm sure you've seen those. We sold four of those this week. Last week we sold three of those. But like that right there, I mean, you're looking $32,000, but that could be a homeowner guy that's wanting to clear his own property, do his own work, own maintenance. You know, we got finance plans up to 10 years for some of these guys just to keep a low note on something that's not hard on the pocketbook.
You told me earlier, too, that you're selling a lot of tractors. And I ask you, well, how is that since there's not a lot of farming here? Tell our listeners what you said.
So there's so many people nowadays that just mom and pop guys that kind of want to kick it old school like their grandpa. Like growing up with grandpa back in the day, everybody's grandpa had a tractor. Well, then that persona kind of left for a few, for, you know, 15 to 20 years span there. Well, now everybody's getting back to it. And Mahindra and Case build some still old school style tractors with a style of transmissions. But really the biggest kicker for us is having 0% for 84 months on financing. I mean, man, you can go buy, just prime example today, sold a guy that's got 6 acres. He said, I want to buy one tractor, man. This is what my grandpa had. I want something similar to that. I want to buy one tractor. I want to take care of it for 20 years, and I want my kids to grow up on it just like I did with my grandpa.
Sure, you can bush hog with it. You can till up a garden with it. You can just do 100 different things with a tractor.
And I can tell you all that stuff going on overseas, you know, with Israel and all, a lot of people are getting a little worried. So people come in, bought small tractors, and they're like, hey, man, I'm fixing to kick it old school. I'm going to get my garden back going. I want to be able to maintain my own food plots on my deer lease instead of paying people to do it because, I mean, you can go buy a whole tractor package, $450 a month. It's kind of a no-brainer when you pay somebody $2,000 or $3,000 just to come plant your food plots a year. And then you can, you know, use it at your house if you got enough land, use it as a tax write-off. Mm-hmm. I mean, heck, even some of these guys, they buy them and they'll rent their own units out when they're not using
it. Yeah. Now, a young guy like Andrew Abity here, you got motorcycles for him, don't you?
We got some over there. I mean, that's not our biggest niche, but, I mean, there's certain times of the year. I mean, we've got – I mean, what kind of guy are you? Like a – well, are you a sport bike kind of guy? Are you more of like a cruiser? Or are you like dirt bikes or –
Well, Bob was being generous. It's funny you talk about how people grow up with tractors and stuff. I grew up in New Orleans, and my lifestyle was completely different.
You need the tractor after the parades, right?
That was right, exactly. That's right. The only time I would see a tractor.
Well, you got something for them. You've got this Corvette.
Oh, yeah.
You've got a blue Corvette.
Yeah. Is that the free one, right?
So that is Mr. Brad Z06. He brought it up here. I think they're fixing to go for a service. But, yeah, those things are – that looks like a Ferrari. To me, they don't even look like a Vette. Like when you see it, you think Ferrari.
I'm glad you said that. Yeah. They don't look like Vette.
When they got rid of the round taillights, that's where I was done.
That's right.
But, dude, that's a – Michael, I'm telling you, brother, if you got in and fastened your seat to that and let me take you for a spin, you'd be all in. That thing right there is wicked.
Last time I went on a spin with you, Dakota, I got sick in the back seat in that Tesla.
That was
0 to 60 in how many seconds?
2.9.
Yeah.
Good grief.
What would be faster, the Tesla or that?
Actually, 0 to 60. I don't know. That one's pretty quick. It's going to run right there with that Tesla. It may actually beat it 0 to 60, but now that car will outrun it, no problem.
There's some Lamar County sheriff who's listening to this just chomping the bit to get himself.
We used to. I mean, Mr. Brad used to bring the Ferrari up here, of course, when it was going out for its service. And, I mean, they would pull in by, hey.
Yeah. Let me tell you, Dakota took me riding in that Tesla, and when you look at a Tesla and you think battery-powered car, you're not thinking about speed. You're thinking about, well, I wouldn't buy gas, but let me tell you, man, a battery-powered car like that.
I told Mr. Bob, I said, hey, you don't take nitrates for chest pain or anything like that. I said, because this son of a gun right here, I said, if you need to be ready. If you have a heart condition or if you get, and I'm telling you, and they're like, oh, you know, and Michael's like, okay, it's probably going to be pretty quick. I said, I'm telling y'all, this thing's got a half a charge, and I can put $1,000 on the dash, and when I stab it.
It was unbelievable.
You can't, there's nothing you can do.
But Andrew, before you joined the show, the best car deal that ever happened here was when Kelly pulled up in his Toyota Corolla. And it was leaning to one side, and Dakota so so famously described as, look, here comes Kelly in the clown car.
Yeah, I mean, you ever heard that song, Sitting Sideways?
Oh, yeah.
That's what Kelly should have been bumping in that car that day. Kind of like his boat probably is right now in Kauai.
Kelly can't defend himself this time.
He's on Waikiki Beach, and he bought a brand-new Speedo, and he's going to take some pictures and send them to you. Right.
His belly is probably in the way of it. I mean, it probably looks like he just jaywalking out there right now.
Michael, have you already gotten your picture of Kelly in the Speedo?
No, I have him blocked.
A lot of people do, Michael. A lot of people do. All right, Dakota, what else we got going down here, Raymond?
I mean, man, the tractors and the taco G are really killing it. But, I mean, dude, we're still slinging boats like crazy right now. Still, as y'all all know, plenty hot. Plenty of people are on the water. With all the rain we've been getting, heck, I mean, grass is growing. Lawnmower sales are still doing good. But, you know, just to let everybody know, we're still going to be hitting hard during hunting season as well. We got food plot mixes ordered and all that stuff getting ready to do that. And the tractor packages going along with it. So we're gearing up for another good year.
Now, I see you got some generators here with some people like me from New Orleans. Generator means preparing for hurricanes and storm season and all that stuff. What do you have for that kind of thing?
So we have stocked back up on generators. You know, we run in the 12 and the 9,500 watt cases. We've got the Generacs here. I mean, we're geared back up for that. We don't have as many chainsaws yet, but the generators, gas cans, we've already geared back up for all
that
as
hurricane
well.
Hurricane season, isn't it? It's just right around the corner.
That was my big worry.
Look, I've said this before on the air. With all due respect to all these generators sitting over here, I bought a Honda generator from Dakota 3 or 4 years ago. Only generator I have ever had. You can let it sit there for 3 months. You can go turn it on, and it will crank on the first pull, Dakota.
Everybody asks why Honda on anything. And they're like, what does that even stand for? I said, I mean, you think Honda, you just think reliability. That's it.
Absolutely.
And everybody's like, well, man, they're a little more expensive. I said, well, you can talk to people just in your business right there. You fill it up with gas. And, you know, try to use non-ethanol. But, I mean, crap, man, let it sit 4 or 5 months. Power goes out. Plug it in. Pull it one time.
All right, something you just said now caught my ear. Use non-ethanol gas in generators?
Yep. I mean, now, if you're going to be running them a lot, I mean, all these nowadays, I mean, it's fine. But now, if it's going to sit up for a while, you know, either if you're going to run ethanol, just get you a little Stay-Bill treatment or the treatment that goes in them. You can buy a bottle of that and pour in them. Let it run a little bit and cycle it to there so it doesn't, because that ethanol eventually can gel anything up. But run a little Stay-Bill in it and it'll be fine.
So a good idea would be to empty it of non-ethanol gas and put
non-ethanol. What some guys like to do, I mean, and I do it too. Let's just say on your Honda, you're running it, and turn your fuel off, and it'll starve itself out, suck everything dry. Everything's dry.
You taught me that when I bought it, and that's what I always do, and it just works like a charm.
Yeah, and everybody's like, oh, this is going to take forever to prime back up. I said, you turn that thing on?
No.
I mean, first pull. You turn it on, let the fuel run down. I said, you turn the Honda on and pull that core, it's done.
No question.
Every time.
Really, no question about that. Hunting season is close.
It is. It's going to be here before we know. Like I said, we're stocking back up on our corn, and you know, dove season. You know, dove season's hard. You know, we've got a whole pallet of ammunition of dove shells. So if anybody needs dove shells, if you need some wheat and all your stuff to help get them to the fields, if you know what I mean, and some of our listeners will know what I'm talking about. If you want to get them there, we have the stuff to get them there as well. You know, you can't put it out before you hunt. But if you want to get them there in time, we've got what you need.
You know, we always appreciate you guys a lot.
Absolutely, man. It's a good time. I just hate we don't have Kelly here to kind of poke at, because there's a lot to poke at right there.
Jeez.
You're going to come back in the last second.
Yes, sir.
Give you a few more minutes to trash Santa before
we leave. That's right.
Dakota Baker, everybody. We'll be right back. We're going to talk to the people up at Marshall University about their love for Charles Huff and the Southern Miss football team. That's next.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, I want to thank Dakota Baker for coming on the show. He's going to join us again in the last segment, and I guess I owe our listeners around the state an apology for putting the image of Kelly in a Speedo in everybody's mind.
You've done it all week, Bob, and it needs to stop.
It needs to stop. Is that what you're saying, Andrew? Well, I can understand. I promise I won't bring the image back up again.
Okay.
The weekend's about to start. Tyler Kenneth writes for the Herald Dispatch, and he is a beat writer that covers Marshall University athletics. And we thought it would be a fascinating conversation to have him on the Eagle Hour, and we're grateful that he agreed to come. Tyler, I guess no matter how you look at it, Marshall and Southern Miss are inevitably going to be tied to the hip all during football season, because when you watch Southern Miss play in particular, you're going to see a heavy dose of kids and coaches that were at Marshall University last year. How does the alumni in Marshall and all the folks that follow the Thundering Herd feel about all of this?
You know, it's interesting. I started working this job. I took over for the last guy in January. So I was at the tail end of the change and kind of got into it right when new coach Tony Gibson took over, had the chance to kind of follow along with that. I think it really depends on who you ask. I was saying a minute ago that some people are just very excited. I think that in Marshall in general right now, there's news yesterday of the new athletic director, along with, you know, Coach Gibson in his first year and many other coaches in either their second years or their first years, that you have some people who are on that camp of it being extremely exciting, while other people maybe are feeling a little burned, because at the end of the day, you know, you win a conference championship and then everything is gone overnight. So there are definitely some people who were upset, but you know, it kind of depends on who you ask, I would say.
Tyler, I want to ask, how big of a missed opportunity is it that the Sun Belt did not schedule Marshall and Southern Miss this year?
Oh, absolutely. I feel like pretty much anybody that you talk to in terms of the fans are pretty consistently, I would say, upset, you know, that that didn't come to fruition. It just seems like an obvious pick, you know what I mean? Like, there are some games that have potential, and then there are other games that are guaranteed to, whether it be sell out or just have, like, a massive audience. I think that that was a kind of a miscue. You know, I just think that it's pretty obvious it would have been highly anticipated pretty much throughout the season if the two were to match up.
And then want to talk about just how the Marshall side of things has handled Huff's departure. Obviously, they brought in Tony Gibson, and there's a new AD in town. I mean, how has been, I guess, picking up the, I hate to call it like this, I guess the leftovers of the Huff era. I mean, how do you feel like the university and the athletic department have handled all of it, and how do you anticipate things will go for them?
Yeah, I think that Coach Gibson and his staff did an excellent job of just kind of having to hit the ground running and go immediately into recruiting. There were some folks that came along with him from NC State who, some of the players did a great job when it came to the recruitment side of things. I think Coach said the other day that it was 72 new players in total. At springtime, it was around 60, and then they kind of kept adding on some more as it went on. If you look up and down the list, I mean, in terms of the football side of things, Marshall's replacing just about anything statistically that you could get. Even the kicker who left in the spring portal is gone as well. So is the long snapper, you know. So there's a completely blank slate that the way they are tackling it when it comes to revenue sharing and anything else before former athletic director Christian Spears departed. They kind of set a foundation of what they're going to do when it comes to that plan. So I think it's kind of like a reset phase, you know, like you have to temper your expectations while still having them, I think, is what the fans are doing right now, because you have some people who expect Marshall and just the traditions that it has to win, while you also have some people who are pretty reasonable that as long as you have some sort of, you know, improvement. A lot of the guys who are coming in haven't played a lot in terms of Division I snaps, and those who have are certainly sticking out in practice and everything. You know, camp's coming up this week, and I think that that'll be when we kind of get to see a lot more in terms of just how things look and everything else. But just to answer your question, just how does it feel like? I think that it's moved on in terms of Marshall. I think that, you know, there's more season ticket sales than ever the past 10 years at least for Marshall this year. So there's certainly some excitement when it comes to just what Coach Gibson has brought along and started building.
What do you believe is the realistic expectations for the program? How do you kind of –
right.
They had an even harder rebuild to do than obviously in Southern Miss because they got to bring in a lot of guys who had experience. I mean, what is the reasonable expectation? What do you think this program is going to do?
It's interesting because I think that one of the things from media days that stuck out to me was Marshall was one of those teams that's kind of got the blunt end of the stick when it comes to coverage about how many players that it lost and how many new faces there are. But it seemed like just about every team in the Sun Belt is either pretty solid and retained a lot, or it is bringing in like a similar number of players. I think Georgia State had 80 or something like that, so even more than Marshall. So with that, I think that it's near impossible, as you heard some coaches say, to predict like who's going to win. I don't think that it's realistic to expect Marshall to repeat by any means. I think that if you're able to kind of go in and have a chance to compete for a bowl spot or just show some signs of improvement and have like a solid foundation set by the end of the year, that would be deemed successful. But I mean, from talking to the players this week, you know, there are the expectations of they want to go out and they want to try to win it. So I think that as long as you have that sort of winning attitude about it, that the fans are going to be happy. But for me personally, like as a writer, I wrote a column a couple of weeks ago how I think that it's impossible to pull out who you think is going to be there and get it right.
I think that's conference-wide, don't you, Tyler? We've talked about that a lot this week on the show. I don't think anybody can really predict at all what's going to happen in the Sun Belt because of all the turnover and personnel from team to team.
Yeah, and I mean, personally, I hate it for the coaches because I know that it's kind of tough to deal with that. It's not just kind of tough, it just flat out is, you know. But as a fan of football, just period, it's exciting because it means there's something always changing. There's something new every season. And I know some fans really don't like that. They like having the consistency of it at all. But, you know, I think you heard Coach Huff saying at media days that, you know, his team was 1-11. He doesn't really have that level of disappointment going into this season about where they were ranked or anything because they know that they've got it set up and what they can do. And I think that's what every coach has got to do, to lean on what they've got, what they know, because if you don't, then you're going to get burned because nobody knows what anybody's got. So if you're not set on your own, then what can you even do, right, I guess?
Quick side question. You know, whenever Coach Huff brings up Marshall, he doesn't ever say their name. He just says
I've noticed
school.
That.
So my question is that something that they say, or Marshall, the other coach? I mean, do they just like, is it like he who will not be named? I mean, how do they talk about it? I mean, does Coach Gip, has he even uttered the word Huff? I mean, what's that like?
You know that now that you say it, from my perspective, I don't think that I've asked them about anything with Coach Huff, so maybe I'm putting words in his mouth, or I guess in this case, taking them out of his mouth. But I don't think that either one has really mentioned it very much, now that you think about it. Like when Marshall was hit with the fine with pulling out of the bowl game and stuff, that was kind of right when I first started, and I don't think that it was really mentioned all too commonly. I have noticed that, though. I think it's kind of funny. You know, it's interesting because I don't feel like this kind of change happens very often where you have a coach go from one school to another within the conference. So I guess there's just some sort of, like, PR line to dance there that I just don't understand because I don't get it. But I do think it's funny that you mentioned that.
You know, Andrew, we've said 1,000 times, why in the world is Southern Miss and Coastal Carolina not playing an annual weekend baseball series against each other?
Right. Oh, yeah.
I would raise this question. Why in the world did the league not schedule Marshall and Southern Miss this year?
Yeah, it would have been, anybody in football would have been watching it.
Definitely.
I guess maybe it's the bad PR to it. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't get it
either.
What
do you think? No, go ahead, Tyler. What do you think?
Oh, no, I mean, I feel like I don't set the schedule for game day at ESPN or whatever, but I feel like that's a game that could at least be in conversation because even if you take the football out of it, just the pure storyline you could write about that would fill me out for a week. I wouldn't have to work, you know.
Right. Because, I mean, coaches change schools, but I don't know that I've ever heard of a coach winning a conference championship, leaving, and going to the last place team in the same conference.
Probably going to see more of it in the future, though.
Well, yeah. But, yeah, sure. But you guys would agree that was just an oddity, was it not?
Yeah, I wrote about it earlier this week because obviously kind of writing a little bit on every coach from media days, and I kind of compared it to like whenever I'm playing the college football video game and I win with one team and then I'm like, okay, we're done here. We'll go somewhere else. You know, it's just kind of funny to think about because like you said, it's such a unique side of how things operate for sure.
Hey, fun conversation, Tyler. We really appreciate you being on our show.
Yeah, sure. No problem. Wishing all right. You guys, good favor all year and everything.
All right. Thank you very much. Tyler Kenneth, everybody, from the Herald Dispatch, covers Marshall University. Dakota's going to rejoin us. We're going to wrap up this week of the Super Talk Eagle Hour from Ramey Motors next.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Hey, Southern Miss fans, TrustCare Health is proud to support the Golden Eagles and help keep our community in top shape. Whether you're cheering at the Rock or the Peak, TrustCare has your back with convenient walk-in clinics and top-notch care for your urgent primary and kids' care needs. From game day injuries to everyday health needs, TrustCare is your go-to team. Visit us in Hattiesburg and Laurel, and let's keep the spirit of Southern Miss soaring to the top. Visit TrustCareHealth.com for more details. TrustCare Health. Feel better faster.
The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back. I want to thank our guest today, Shane. Let me get my glasses on. Shane Metlin from the Daily News Record up in Harrisonburg, Virginia, and Tyler Kenneth, the Marshall writer for the Herald Dispatch up in, where is Marshall? Morgan?
Huntington.
Huntington, West Virginia, yep. Dakota Baker's never been to Huntington, West Virginia.
I haven't either.
You haven't? And neither one of you have any desire to go there. Is that what I'm gathering?
I do not believe so.
Yeah. It's not on the bucket list. I think not on the bucket list.
I flew over it a few times. We'll just say that.
Yeah. All right. While we were gone, they worked out a deal with Andrew on that Corvette. He'll be driving that back to New Orleans tonight. Andrew, you look good in it too, man.
Yeah.
Just remember, just park it in a good spot down there, okay? All right. Make sure you've got a good coverage and probably need gap on it as well down there.
Park it in Slidell and walk.
Yeah. Oh, do you have any safety tips for New Orleans now that we have you here on the show?
Oh,
being from New Orleans?
Yeah, just, you know. I don't have any good ones. Second to last time I went, my car got broken into for Mardi Gras. So I'm
and you're a native.
Yeah, exactly.
And you even knew where to park it, and it still got broken into.
Yeah.
So. All right, Dakota, we got a few minutes left. I thought Andrew made a great observation here with hurricane season. You guys do have all the generators and fuel containers and chainsaws and everything you'll need, and this machine right behind you might come in handy if there's a good hurricane coming through here.
Absolutely, and that's one thing we haven't really been able to touch on in the last 4 or 5 years is when that comes, you'll have guys that are coming to us like, hey man, I got a contract, I can go to New Orleans and clean up for 3 or 4 months, I need a machine. Well, we never had machines. Now we have that option that gets you in a machine and gets you down there, gets you working, helping people out and making money at the same time.
Well, explain this to me, because over the years that we've been coming down here, you guys have added so many new lines of stuff, this just being the latest. But do y'all brainstorm and come up with these ideas of merchandise that you think would be sellable here?
We look at every aspect as if, like, it was our own. Like, you know, if you bought 50 acres of land yourself, and of course, you know, tractors are great, this, that, and other. But, like, for me, I bought 40 acres, and I'm like, crap, I need a track coat, man. We didn't have track coats. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, Ford, and it was like, man, we got some land and we're building a pond. We're having to pay these people to, I mean, it can be expensive to get this stuff clear with a mulcher. And he's like, we need skid steers. So then we started talking to Takuchi about a year and a half ago and finally got that deal done. And there's one more aspect of things I don't think we hit on, and that's golf carts. And that's something I would like to see in the future is really if we get that, man, I don't know what else to get after. I mean,
well, golf carts are damn sure popular.
I mean, it's just, it's easy.
Nobody plays golf in them, but they're very popular.
You know, there's so many little subdivisions you go in, man, and people, the four-wheeler and the side-by-side's been replaced. You can ride, little kids can ride the golf carts around. I mean, that's one thing I would like to see in the next year, hopefully, that Ramey Motors picks up is golf carts. And I think we have the opportunity to do that, and that would just pretty much solidify us from one end of the spectrum to the other for anybody down here that needs anything other than a deep offshore-style 40-foot boat.
Well, you've got a boat you could put Andrew in Lake Pontchartrain in, don't you?
Man, I got it. He can go in the little rivers, or I can get him in Pontchartrain. I can get him in the lakes. I mean, whatever he needs out there.
I get seasick. Even on the lake.
You've never enjoyed Lake Pontchartrain?
I'm what you call a city boy, Bob. I don't know if you've picked up on that in this whole conversation.
I think
Dakota
yeah.
might have. But I appreciate the outdoors. Like, I'm not a big hunter, but I'll eat it.
Speaking of city boys, how do you think old JoJo's going to do up there in Toronto?
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I did want to ask you about that. And I know Andrew's very familiar with this young man being a sports writer. You know his family and you know him.
Know him personally. So, he grew up right across the street from us.
So somebody that's known him all their lives, how remarkable do you find it that a kid could come from Purvis High School straight into professional baseball and become a millionaire out of Purvis High School?
You know, dude, a lot of people forget it. Like I told you, Walter Young did it. Walter Young was one of the top-rated defensive linemen in the country and decided to go play baseball. And until this day, I think he is still the largest man to ever play in the MLB. But then, I mean, dude, you watch JoJo and Jacob and living across the street from them as kids. I mean, from day one, that's what them boys, I mean, they were out in the yard and every day playing, hitting the balls. And then, you know, watching them, like I live a mile and a half from the school, coming home at night. These boys are in there working in the cage, working on the field, as in hitting, fielding, and like they have put their work in and watching what they've done. And then, I mean, look at it. Look at Jop's story. Look at Michelle. I mean, dude, they are – it's nothing – I don't know any other word besides amazing, remarkable. Yeah. Like, what I mean, they're great human beings. They're well-rounded, good Christian. I mean, they're so grounded. Yeah. I mean, it's so cool to see, too, because, like you said, how many people do you hear their kids are A1, number one player? What do most of them do at a younger age? Where do they go? Hey, I'm going to ship you off to this school. We're going to go to IMG Academy. They kept them right here at home. And they developed right here in little old Purvis, like you said. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, right now, I look for Jacob to go in the top. If Jacob goes to Mississippi State for 2 or 3 years, he would be a first-round draft pick.
Were you surprised, Andrew?
It was my understanding that once they got to a certain point, his agent just said, you know, don't bother. I thought if he had a good day, second round, I thought realistically it was going to be 4 or 5, maybe 6, which I don't think is what he was hoping. But, you know, it's not like there's worse decisions to make to go. You can go make money in college baseball now.
So. Yeah. And he became, after you, the second kid to leave Purvis High School and walk into millions. Am I right about
true.
That?
True. Boy, I wish that was true. Boy, I wish that was true.
Dakota, always appreciate you having us.
Hey, we appreciate y'all coming, guys. Always a good time.
Ramey Motors down here in Purvis, a little bit of everything. If you're a man, this is a fantasy land for you. Come check these guys out. We'll look forward to being back here again soon. Also, look forward to being back on the show with you Monday. And until then, Southern Miss, to the top.
Like an eagle to the sea.
Waiting. You do it at grocery stores, in traffic, and at the doctor's office. But what if you could skip the wait altogether? Introducing TrustCare Plus, a healthcare membership that makes feeling better even faster. Skip the waiting room and enjoy priority access at any TrustCare clinic. Sick kid? Text your care crew day or night. Get discounts on prescriptions and so much more. Wait no more. Feeling better just got a whole lot faster. Join TrustCare Plus today. Plans start from just $15 a month. Learn more at trustcarehealth.com/plus.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.